up a new place in the world for Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, everybody had that expectation. It wasn't that you'd sit around as a brahmachari in the temple just eating prasad for the rest of your life. But you'd do something for Prabhupada. And so, you know, that probably would always ask, you know, what have you accomplished? And I chanted my rounds. You know, it's ridiculous. You got to accomplish something. So Prabhupada always expected us to do wonderful things. It was like when I helped read Anandamara start in South America. It was like that. You know, just basically start from scratch. It was like the wild, wild west. I mean, in Venezuela, where I was, if they discovered they were a member of the CIA and they could, it was saying, CIA, the CIA. And there, in some countries, there's desaparecidos, what is it called? They disappeared people. Desaparecidos. People would just disappear, the secret police would just take them, and you'd never see them again. It was Argentina, especially, was like that. Chile too?
Many countries went through, yeah. Bolivia, Chile.
Oh, really? I didn't know Chile. But I know Argentina went through that. You know, but, and then, and Venezuela too. You know, the secret police would just come and attack you. And then, it's interesting. It was like India without the spiritual side. I always say South America is like India without the spiritual side. So we would go. I remember I needed a long-term visa in Venezuela. And I just go and just bribe the head of the immigration there. And just gave money. Anyway. It was a real adventure. I had so many nice adventures in Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? Started in and because devotees were willing to do that, the whole world now has temples. Everywhere from China to Russia, Africa, every country in Africa, every country in Europe. Because devotees were willing to stick their necks out. People weren't just like into settling down, just going to Vrindavan, the city of Tara Kadamba. Because that's how we were trained with Prabhupada. You stick your neck out, you risk your life, and then you get Krishna's blessings. Anyway, so much for that one. Okay, so it's Narottama Das Thakur's appearance day today. And so we'll chant a very nice song written by Narottama Das Thakur called Vaishnava Vyati, which means prayers to the Vaishnavas. Hey Baro Karuna Kauro Vaishnava Go Sai. Patita Pavana Tomaho Vine Keho. Bye. Shan a Pahutra Koro he Tomara. Divine Grace of Ayah. Chananana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananda Goti Vaishnavrind Nam Vidastha Prem Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhara, Srimati Gaur, Bhaktivedanta Kijai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gaur, Govinda Sayam, Radhakunda, Giri Gaur, Pranam Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamari Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Sambhita Bhakta Vrindavanam Kijai, Gaur, Prabhupada Hariyam. All glorious assemble the devotees, all glorious assemble the devotees, all glorious assemble the devotees, all glorious to Shri. Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. So we will read the translation. O Vaishnava Goswami, there is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere way? One becomes purified after bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, but just the sight of you purifies the fallen souls. This is your great power. The holy name delivers one who is offended, Lord Hari. But if one offends you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda, and Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottama yours and be kind upon him. Beautiful poem. So here is the story of Narottama Das Thakur. So the story of Narottama Das Thakur starts with the story of his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami were sent to Vrindavan to prepare the ground for the other Goswamis who came later on. Chat. So anyway, Lokanath Goswami was sent there because actually Lord Chaitanya did not want Lokanath Goswami to see him as a sannyasi, because basically Lokanath Goswami would feel too much lamentation seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cutting off all of his beautiful long hair. In fact, that happened. There was even someone named Chaitanya Das, who was the father of Sri. When he saw the sannyasa ceremony of Lord Chaitanya, he just couldn't keep from chanting Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Therefore, he became known as Chaitanya Das. And so we worship Lord Chaitanya with his hair. You don't have gaudita deities that are bald with little dandas. So that anyway, so after he went to Vrindavan, he tried to meet Lord Chaitanya in South India, and then he heard Lord Chaitanya, this is Lokanath Goswami now, then he heard Lord Chaitanya was in Braj, and he went back to Braj, then he heard he was in Prayag, and he wanted to go there, but it wasn't his fortune to see Lord Chaitanya, at least externally. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in a dream and said, stay in Vrindavan, and we are never separated. Narottama Das Thakur will become your disciple. Wow. So, that's one part of the story. Another part is, once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya visited Kateri. And while he was there, that's where Narottama appeared, he would cry out, Narottama, Narottama. You know, the best of the persons, Uttama, Nara, best of men. And so as he was bathing in the Padma River, he told the devotees he was depositing his prema in the Padma River. And he just described Narottama Das Thakur as he was bathing. So later on, Narottama Das Thakur took birth in that same location, and the astrologer predicted he would be the best of men, and that's why it was called Narottama, from his horoscope. At his grain ceremony, he refused to take any grains until they were offered to the Lord, and he was the Krishnananda, so it wasn't a Brahmin family. So there was some criticism of that. You know, sometimes these king families were actually even considered like Shudra or low caste families. Narayani was his mother. At 12 years of age, she had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Nityananda told him, go to the Padma and bathe. And so he went to the Padma River and bathed. And he came back golden colored, you know, completely golden colored, and he was just like immersed in the love of God and chanting the holy names. And he became completely apathetic. His parents were in complete anxiety, you know, what are we going to do with our son? And they had, similar to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he felt like, basically, he felt like he was in prison. But he had good association. There was a devotee named Krishnadas who related the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and the associates. and told him about Srinivasacharya, who would be his good friend later on. So he was, his mood, he was intensely hankering to go join Srinivasacharya and serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Chaitanya appeared and said, "You will be initiated by Lokanath Goswami." So one day, he escaped from home. But by the time he got to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had already passed away. And of course, Jiva Goswami was still there, and Raghunath Das Goswami was still there. But Rupa and Sanatana had passed away. And just before he got to Vrindavan, Srinivas Acharya, who was also second generation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had a dream. And that dream, he was told by Lord Chaitanya that Narottam was coming the next day. And there, he met, that is, Narottam met the remaining Goswamis when he got there. And he eventually went to Lokanath Goswami and asked him for initiation. And Lokanath Goswami said, "Now not to accept any disciples." And so in order to serve the person whom he knew he would be taking initiation from, he started to clean the latrine every day. Latrine means like the homograph or something like that. And eventually his guru, Lokanath Goswami, looked out and was just wondering who was cleaning. And then he just was watching one day and he saw Narottam cleaning the latrine. And then, but he still didn't want to give initiation. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and chastised him and said, "Give him initiation." So then he got trained in philosophy by Srila Jiva Goswami, along with his friend Srinivas and another devotee named Shyamananda. So after they got trained in philosophy by Jiva Goswami, who we mentioned the previous day when we went to Radhakund, because Jiva Goswami was known erudite scholar practically of all time, and published the Shatshandarvas, the six treatises on Krishna consciousness, beginning with epistemology, all the way up to the highest levels of prema. Anyway, so Jiva Goswami sent him, Shyamananda, and Srinivas on traveling Sankirtan. And they took the books of the Goswamis that were handwritten, and they took them to Bengal, and on the way to Bengal, the books were stolen by this king named Vira Hamvira. Because he had this Vira Hamvira had an astrologer, and the astrologer said there's something very valuable coming. And basically, Vira Hamvira eventually opened up the whole chest in which the books were, and he saw the writing of Rupa Goswami, and just, then he had a dream that he would later be initiated by Srinivasacharya, and he did. And Vira Hamvira made it a rule he could live in his kingdom unless they chant or at least worship Krishna. So, getting on with Narottam, he weep, and he was given a spurti or a vision. In other words, he saw it as it was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. He visited and Vasudha, the two wives of Lord Nityananda, and visited Puri, Ekachakra, and in Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda, of course, had already in disguise, guided him into, guided him around Ekachakra, gave him a whole tour. Then, in Kateri, he had a dream. So, because we have to be careful ourselves, you know, we have so many dreams, we shouldn't take it so seriously. You know, for your pure devotee like Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada had dreams of his spiritual master saying to him, "Come with me, come with me." And Prabhupada said he was horrified. Because that meant taking sannyas. And Prabhupada wasn't just like making that up. Prabhupada was very responsible. I mean, obviously he didn't want to leave a situation he felt responsibility for. So in Kateri Gram, Narottama Das Thakur dreamt that there was a deity in his storage place. And so he went to this godown and he said, can I look there? You know, there was rice in there and everything like that. And the owner said, you have my permission, but it's filled with snakes, venomous snakes. And so he went there, and the snakes just like, I wouldn't say ran away. Snakes don't slither away. And he found deities there of Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya in this godown. And then he arranged for two other sets of deities to be. And he, what is considered to be the first major. And in that festival, Janavamata was there. Janavamata, of course, is the wife of Lord Nityananda. She was also a guru, interestingly enough. And all some were quite conservative. So, anyway, so Janavamata was there. Lord Chaitanya and his associates all appeared during the kirtan of Narottama Das Thakur. That's how powerful his kirtan was. He had special style kirtan, just chanting, and then all Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Srivas, Gadadhar, they were dancing in ecstasy during the kirtan, and after the kirtan they all went away. Whew, what a kirtan. And during this festival, they had this holy festival. They were all throwing red dye at each other. But there was a problem, too. The brahmanas were really upset because Narottama was a lower caste. And he was initiating people with higher castes and acting as a guru. They said he's a shudra. And, you know, that his particular caste was considered like almost like shudra caste. So they went to the king, whose name was Nadasingha, and the king called for his best scholars to defeat Narottama Das Thakur. So, the best scholars was known as Rupa Narayan, and so Narottama's two foremost disciples decided to play a trick on this Rupa. Oh, you got a copy. Bless you. Bless you, God. Thank you. You are blissful. So, anyway. Narottama Das Thakur had two disciples named Ramchandra Chakravarti Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Actually, Ramchandra was a disciple. And so what they did is when this Rupa Narayan was coming with his other big scholars, before Narottama, they set up shop. Yeah. Ordinary shopkeepers like, you know, Pan and whatever, you know, and this Rupa Narayan and his people, they wanted to buy stuff, so they went to the shop. And these two shopkeepers, who were actually the most erudite scholars, began to Sanskrit. And, you know, Rupa Narayan was saying, well, who's your guru? And they said, well, Narottama Das Thakur. They thought of disciples like that, you know, we're not going to argue with them. That night had a dream, and his worshipable deity Durga came to him and said to him, surrender to Narottama Das Thakur, else I'm going to kill you. So he did, obviously. And then the king and the queen got initiated by Narottama Das Thakur. That's one story. Another story is, once upon a time there was a dacoit, a gudla. His name was Chan Roy, and he committed so many sinful activities that he became ghostly haunted. And his father was a great devotee. His father went to Narottama Das Thakur, asked him to to save his son, and John Roy got saved, became a great devotee. And once he became a great devotee, the king, who was a there's so many kings in India. When we talk about kings, it's not like, that means like a village or a province. So he took advantage of this John Roy becoming humble, and he put him in prison. And while he was in prison, the father of John Roy had a plan to get him out of prison. And that plan was he wanted a follower of Durga who had this mystic power that he could teleport himself from one place to another by chanting certain Durga mantras. And then he would go and grab John Roy and, you know, teleport him out of prison. So he went into the prison. He showed up in John Roy's prison one day. He says, come with me. Just chant this mantra, Om Gurgaya Namaha. And Narottama said, John Roy says, I will not chant any other mantra other than those given. You know, he was so chaste like that. And so he remained in prison, and then what happened is the king decided to kill him. And they had interesting ways of killing people in those days. He brought a big, mad elephant to trample John Roy. And the elephant came out, and John Roy had so much faith in Narottama Das Thakur, he just grabbed the elephant's trunk and pulled his nose off, you know, the trunk. So the king got a little humble at that point and released him. Narottama Das Thakur also had a... who was the disciple of Srinivasacharya, but basically a Siksha disciple of Narottama Das Thakur. And it's described that one time Ramchandra Kaviraj got a letter from his wife, because he had never been with his wife, basically. You hear all these stories. I'll tell you a story about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in a second. So he got a letter to go see his wife, and Narottama Das Thakur ordered him. Wife already. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj got about 100 feet away from where Narottama Das Thakur was. And he just started sweeping the temple there. And Narottama Das Thakur looked and he saw him there, and Ramchandra Kaviraj felt so guilty that he started hitting himself with the broom. And Narottama just said, you're hitting me. You know, so close was the Vaishnava relationship. And so then he said, you don't have to go. The story about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is even more interesting. That he was ordered by his guru to go see his wife. I'm not saying, don't worry. Thoughts against wives. These are special personalities. I got to preface it all. Just don't worry. That Nalini Khan's not going to be told any of these things. So anyway, but you know, this is Vishwanath. All across India, and he's told, you know, spend the night with your wife. So he goes in, and his wife is there, it's in the bedroom, whatever, and he's just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna the whole night. In the morning, he gets up, walks away, goes, joins his guru again. Not suggesting that these are pastimes that are really not meant to be emulated. So, anyway, so also, he was so attached, Narottama Das Thakur was so attached to Ramchandra Chakravarti and also to Srinivasacharya, when they both went to Vrindavan and Narottama Das Thakur found out that they had left their bodies, he decided to leave his body. This famous poem, Yeni Lo Premadana Karana Prachur, you know, Saparshana Gora Viraha, separation from the Vaishnavas. So, anyway, so Narottama decided to leave his body in sort of a pyre, and he uses mystic power to leave his body. But what happened is when he was doing that, the brahmanas started jeering, making fun of him, saying, look, this is so inauspicious. so inauspicious, you know, he's leaving his body on a funeral pile. And so he did this for 3 years and wasn't lit, of course. Main disciples, Ganga, Narayan, Chakravarti, pleaded with him, this is ruining our preaching and your reputation. So Narottama Das Thakur stood up and got off the funeral pyre, and he manifested on his own chest a golden Brahmin thread. Because he didn't have a Brahmin thread at that time, because he was from... See, Brahmin threads were only given in those days. They were Vaishnava. Someone took Vaishnava initiation, you weren't given a Brahmin thread. Unless you had it when you were like 5, 6 years old. You know, that was the standard. Coming from a Brahmin family. So he manifested a golden Brahmin thread, and everyone chanted Radha Krishna Chaitanya for him to leave this world. He went into the Ganges and he told his disciples to and pour Ganges water over him, and his body dissolved into the Ganges. It became like a milky substance, and his samadhi is called the Dugdha. The samadhi means like milk. Milk samadhi, and some people say it's that's still preserved in the container today in a temple. I'm not sure where that temple is. And Narottama Das Thakur was the exponent of different types of kirtan. Basically, these were, in many cases, it was like Leela kirtan, you know, which is very interesting, describing Krishna's Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, and also some of the songs that we're familiar with. Especially the song we chanted today about Vaishnavas, from his different books like Prarthana, Prema Bhakti, Chandrika. And we are chanting every morning in the ISKCON temples the Guru prayers, you know. Not the Guru Vashtika prayers, but in Guru Pooj, Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Oh, that's a touch. So we're just finishing class. Good to see you. So that's Narottama Das Thakur. Whoops. The story of Chad and Roy I told already. Let's see, I think that's all it. Okay. Any questions or comments? Keep it short since we're leaving tomorrow. Questions, comments? Yes.
Regarding kirtan, Narottama Das did kirtan in Bengal, right?
Bengali. Yeah, Prabhupada said that he was one of the first to present Krishna consciousness in simple Bengali, so people can understand.
Is it an encouragement, or did we do songs in our own language?
If I say it on the internet, I'll get kicked out of the Hare Krishna world. But. I would not in the temples. I would say, you know, the standard temple procedure should, you should stick to the tradition. Now, on the other hand, when doing programs, yes, I think it's, if someone is qualified, because Narottama Das Thakur is a pure devotee of Krishna, and he's certainly qualified. If someone is qualified, we can have at least translations of certain songs, and then then people can relate to them. Yes, I think for preaching purposes, for new people, it's helpful to have translations of songs in English. Did you know that? Prabhupada wrote poetry in Adore You All, you know, to his spiritual master. So Prabhupada also did. So, but it should be done very carefully. I mean, sometimes, yeah, Prabhupada like appreciated this one devotee's album, Change of Heart, Mangalananda. What is it? And it was interesting. It was an interesting. We used to play it in the temples all the time, in the kitchen while we were cooking and things like that. But no, Prabhupada appreciated it, and I think Prabhupada wanted it utilize more for preaching, outside preaching, than actually in the temple like that. But certainly, yes, for attracting people, We need songs in all the languages. I don't see anything wrong with it. The standard programs in the temples should generally be in the standard Sanskrit or Bengali, following the tradition. I remember years ago there was one person who sort of deviated, and he had the Guru Vashtika in English. It was in a temple in West Virginia that shall remain nameless to protect the innocent. So, and also he, everyone was sitting in chairs, and he had an organ, which was all right, it's a harmonium, big harmonium. He had an organ with big pipe organ in the temple room, and devotees would sit with candles, like in a monastery. So I remember I went there just to, you know, anyway, just to try to bring them back to Krishna consciousness, and the devotees were dressed in monks' robes.
Wasn't Prabhupada dressed up as Jesus or something?
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. They had Prabhupada dressed up as Jesus, and then they had a big statue of Prabhupada outside, about 50 feet tall. What a...
His name
Prabhupada.
Prabhuda.
Prabhupada, yeah. Prabhupada. So they were trying to reach out, you know, like... It wasn't exactly Krishna West, it was Krishna West. So I went there, you know, I went there from Mangalarti, and they were actually chanting or intoning like in a church, intoning the English. Spiritual master, taking benediction from the ocean of mercy.
Oh my gosh.
They weren't the exact words. I mean, they had poeticized it. And it was... And Radha Vrindavan Chandra was still there, you know, the deities. And they had a deity on the And they had, then in Prabhupada's palace, they depicted Prabhupada as a king. They put a crown on him, caves and everything like that, and a scepter. You know, like kings have their scepter and everything like that. What?
I agree with 50% of what they did.
Really?
Yes, because you have the idea of... unity and diversity. I heard some guru speak like that about Srila Prabhupada's appearance day recently. That you have different people.
That was me.
There are different types of worship that they want to do. I don't think it's right to laugh at everything that they did.
Well, first of all, it was changing Prabhupada's system inside a temple.
And yeah, but you have unity
but
and diversity.
But it didn't attract anybody.
That's true.
Yeah, it was simply based upon somebody. See, if you go back in the history, the same person did the same thing and Prabhupada chastised him for it.
Yeah, but
when Prabhupada was on the planet, he did that. Not in this wholesale way, and Prabhupada chastised him for it.
He was saying he was God too, didn't he?
Yeah, but Prabhupada chastised him for the dressing with the monk's robes. Mm-hmm. And it's just that we don't really have the right to change what goes on inside Prabhupada's temples. If you have a preaching center, you know, you can do... First of all, it wasn't effective at attracting people. And secondly, I mean, I'm all for, like, adjusting the presentation to attract people.
Well, you were talking before about how you liked the idea of a pew. You know...
Yeah, well, Prabhupada liked the idea of a pew.
Right.
Actually, Prabhupada in Los Angeles, in the church building, that's my geo. So, Prabhupada in the what's my alert? 90% daily data. So, Prabhupada in the Los Angeles temple was a church before. And there were pews there, and Prabhupada said to leave the pews there, but not in the temple room. He wanted it as a lecture hall where he can give lectures.
So how does unity, and see, this is the thing I've been thinking about ever since your lecture at Chul Prabhupada's Appearance Day. Very seriously, how do we incorporate unity and diversity if there's no room for any sort of different look? For instance, Harinam in the United States is freakish nowadays.
Yeah.
So how, you know, there's no, you're not going to make people Indian.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100% with that.
And, you know, the whole system in the United States for temples, it's all just become Indian. I was a 5-year-old kid in the temples. I didn't want to be Indian.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is the temples, the temple room itself, where you have the deities and everything like that, it's a very traditional scene. You could have other rooms where, you know, this is like we do our Krishna West program. You have other rooms or other centers where other things are happening. But if you're gonna have deity worship, you understand what I mean? Then it should be done the way the Prabhupada wanted it. I mean, we have our Krishna West program, and we do all sorts of things, you know, except dress naked. Like Mahamantra, he was chanting English songs in the Krishna West program. I went to the Krishna West program with Western clothes on. But what I discovered is the people didn't respect me as much. So I'm all into adapting and changing and everything like that. But, you know, the deity worship itself, you know, I'm a firm believer that deity worship can't mess with it. It's a traditional thing. Like, I couldn't imagine someone going on with blue jeans.
Well, imagine how people nowadays would laugh at someone like Narottam Das Thakur.
Yeah.
Or his type of kirtan. If you actually hear people who do that type of kirtan, and all of a sudden you were to drop that in the United States without somebody having heard it before, they would laugh.
Yeah.
It's actually true. They would laugh at them. And so whenever people laughing at some cockamamie devotee, I still think about that. I'm thinking, you shouldn't laugh.
Well, let me start think about that for a second. Whether we should laugh at that or not. Perhaps you're right, we shouldn't laugh at him, but this particular devotee had severe psychological problems.
Well, Shil Prabhupada said put him in an institution.
Yeah, he was in a mental institution.
Shil Prabhupada said put him back.
Yeah, he was definitely in a mental institution. Prabhupada at one point told him he wasn't welcome in any of the temples. So, and the people there who were going along with him were actually, afterwards, they were shocked that they had actually gone around, along with him. In other words, they had given in to insanity.
Yeah,
and they realized it. They realized, even one of our present members of the GBC was dressed in monk's robes when I was there. And the whole idea was that this is better for preaching in the United States. It wasn't. I mean, it was just monk's robes. And the people in the United States are generally not Eastern Orthodox monks. So, I mean, but my response was, when I went there, this is ridiculous. You know, that was my honest response was that it was ridiculous. And it was a deviation.
But,
yeah.
But when I heard that the first time, and now that I remember that, the first thing that came to mind is just didn't make sense that they were actually copying monastic life, which is not for preaching.
Yeah, and even the dress was not a Western dress. It was more like Eastern Orthodox.
Yeah, the monks usually go and they just go in solitude. They don't preach.
Yeah.
And they were imitating that.
Yeah, it was like, in other words, it was to me, it wasn't just a change for preaching. It was like if I walked into an insane asylum, and maybe I shouldn't laugh at the crazy people, and someone said he was Napoleon. See, that's where my humor comes from. It was so...
Oh, the people were laughing at all sorts of sannyasis back then.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear people laughing a little too much, I do get
concerned. No, I understand that.
You know, I would travel around in a Volkswagen bus, and then after that, a minivan, and after that, you know, over the years, and you go around to these different temples, and people would always laugh at the local sannyasi. Everybody laughed.
That's not good.
I'd always just sit in the back and wonder, why are they laughing?
That's not good. No, I mean, obviously, that's not good. But this was like walking into an insane asylum.
It was funny. I remember Prabhupada.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, Prabhupada was great.
I mean, you probably laughed too.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
So if I can't laugh, you can laugh. You laugh.
But at the same time, there's like, you know, when you start talking about the people, I don't know, and everybody's laughing, I just like freeze up.
You know, I understand. Like, I understand your reaction. But it was, I mean, it was quite hilarious. And actually what they had to do ultimately was to bury that Prabhupada. And, you know, to depict Prabhupada with a scepter, you know, in a king's outfit.
It's kind of cool. Honestly, as a kid growing up, seeing that, it was pretty cool. And you're like, hey, yeah, he's the king.
Yeah, but just thinking about what Prabhupada would say.
He would laugh. And then he'd say, cool.
Yeah, no, he'd say, where does this nonsense come from?
You'd probably wear the crown for a second and then be like, sell this and buy
No, Prabhupada. That, see, Kirtananda did something similar when Prabhupada was on the planet. And Prabhupada said he's not allowed in any of our temples. You know, so Prabhupada was really heavy about that stuff.
Yeah, he got a lot of trouble.
You know, he got a lot of trouble.
It does seem like this topic of unity and diversity is something that is actually required of quite mature devotees to understand where it fits in to diversify yourselves, to be inclusive to others, or to share the... I come from a Native American background, and everything I was taught as a child as a Native American is the exact same thing that I was retaught in Krishna consciousness with different names. We had Mangalarti, we always offered our food before we ate. I mean, like so many different things.
They even have the culture understanding that before you kill an animal, you say in its ear, you can kill me next time.
Yeah, there's this understanding of karma.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Same thing with plants. There is this tap three times before you
pull
plant
out
of
the ground
because you know they have a soul. And so you're saying, I'm taking your life, and I understand that's what I'm doing, but I have to eat.
That's great.
So anyway, my point of that is just that unity and diversity, it's so necessary. But for someone to actually apply that properly, as we've seen, you just have to be so mature. And it gets messy very quickly, obviously.
You can really get off the rails pretty quickly. And not only in that case, I've seen other cases like that where people really get off the rails trying to be diverse. But in this particular case, it was not unity; it was insanity.
Yeah. No, I know it was.
It was group insanity.
We can figure out as a society in the long term.
I guess why I basically froze up is because after a while, laughter like that. It just reminds me of the same kind of crazy thing people end up doing, making offenses to each other, and they all went crazy.
Well, that's not good.
I mean, that's why people went crazy, because they were laughing too much.
Yeah, no, you can't make fun of Vaishnavas who were trying their best, but in this case, it was insanity.
Yes.
It was definitely, I mean...
No, you're right.
It was definitely insanity.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I guess you could say, well, if I go into a mental institution, I start laughing at person thinks he's Napoleon is actually not proper because he's suffering. In that sense, I mean, I agree with you.
And I'm sorry I got triggered with that one.
No, that's fine.
I remember, you know, growing up like that.
That's fine. I mean, I generally don't laugh at people like that. But it was insane. It was insane, you know, seeing a 50-foot tall Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Outside and seeing Prabhupada dressed and then Lord Jesus Christ up there. It was just like, and my initial reaction was, oh my God. oh my God, where am I? And then they were trying to preach to me to do the same thing when I went there.
Oh, sure.
And then and then one devotee almost left the movement because of that.
I was going to say, remember Gopal?
Gopal got so freaked out by the whole thing that I don't want to tell the story about him. But, you know, he just almost left the whole movement. Because he was just a new devotee. He just said, I'll take you to New Vrindavan. And then, like that. So, yeah.
Unity in diversity does not mean mixing and matching. Like
it means keeping the principles and the details can be adjusted. But, you know, it takes a lot of maturity to figure out what... Like, for example, in China, you mentioned about the American Indian, so this is something very similar. That in China, practically all the kirtans are with the Chinese instruments. And the people don't dress in dhotis and saris, they dress in, at least when they're in China, they dress in the traditional Chinese clothes. I was watching one play, it was a video of a play, and it was like Chinese music and Chinese mimes and things like that. And it was done very nicely. The devotees were, and they were having Chinese prasadam, you know, chop suey or whatever it is. Or that's Japanese. Chop suey. Anyway, whatever. And the devotees were all eating their prasadam with chopsticks. I mean, that's fine. There's details. But, you know, one devotee one time suggested that we can dress Radha and Krishna with blue jeans on. You know, well, that's funny or not, but it's just like, you know, maybe Krishna does wear blue jeans. I don't know, but it's not our tradition. There's certain traditional things, to me, they're sacrosanct, like the deities. You know, obviously, we don't dress the deities the way Krishna looked. That's an interesting thing, because, you know, Krishna wore a yellow dhoti, or yellow cloth. And Krishna didn't wear these gigantic headdresses that would, you know, that would cause you to break your neck. Isn't it? You see some of these clothes, it's just like, we're not actually dressing Krishna the way Krishna dressed over 5,000 years ago. But I'd be really hesitant to, you know, say we're going to attract Western people to put Krishna on a motorcycle or something like that.
They do that with Ganesh. Here
I know.
India,
I mean, that's, to me, not only hesitant, I'd never do it. And, you know, the deity worship, those ritual things, to me, they have to remain pretty much traditional. I mean, I'm all for the guitar and the whatever, the flute and everything like that being used. But when you, with the deities, I mean, just like in one temple, and please don't laugh, one temple they had Radha and Krishna dressed as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus.
I remember that.
It's just like, you know, who's Radha and Krishna? We have certain sacrosanct beliefs or, you know, Shastra things. Kept sacred. But, you know, kirtan, you can use any instruments. I don't care if people come to the temple dressed in whatever type of clothes, as long as they're dressed. The whole point is to be respectful when you come to see the deities. But there's certain sacred things to me. And I don't care if you have kirtans in English, you can do that, but there's certain, like, the deity worship, going on the altar and the deity worship and, you know, achman and things like that, I think they have to remain in that, in that same way. Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we shouldn't be laughing at when people, I mean, to go into the, if I go into a mental institution, someone thinks he's Napoleon, it wouldn't be appropriate to laugh at him. Or God. Well, if he's God, that's a different thing. You know. Someone thinks he's God. Yes, God. I mean, people came before Prabhupada And sometimes the Prabhupada given a class and Prabhupada, they say, I'm God. And Prabhupada would sometimes react in interesting ways. I'm God, I'm self-realized. Okay, any other questions? Or comments? Yes?
And having really good prasadam and very nice kirtans is like pretty much we can never lose that. If we always have that, we'll always be able to preach to anyone in
yes.
any group and from any part of the world.
Really nice Western prasadam.
Yeah. I think the Unity University is like in like a needle. You know? I like a pop.
He's actually really intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your mercy. I'm just an instrument. Well, fool. Just a foolish.
Yeah, I mean, so we need Western prasad. You know, I'm the first one to say the type of boga that we offer to the deities and serve to the devotees is killing them. I'm the first one to say that, you know. I even gave seminars entitled Stop Killing the Devotees that were not popular with everybody.
Lecture about, it was an interview with one of the devotees.
The doctor, yeah, the doctors, yeah.
It was really nice.
All right, I think we have to go. We have to leave tomorrow. I'm sure you'll all be happy that we're gone. So, is the car coming? Or?